Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in these uncertain times. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds on the Holistic Survival Show. And by the way, be sure to visit our website at holisticsurvival.com. You can subscribe to our blog, which is totally free, has loads of great information, and there's just a lot of good content for you on the site. So make sure you take advantage of that at holisticsurvival.com. We'll be right back.
Now's your opportunity to get the Financial Freedom Report. The Financial Freedom Report provides financial self-defense in uncertain times, and it's your source for innovative, forward-thinking investment property strategies and advice. Get your newsletter subscription today. You get a digital download and even more. Go to jasonhartman.com to get yours today.
My pleasure to welcome Scott Cleland to the show. He is the author of a book entitled Search and Destroy, Why You Can't Trust Google Incorporated. And he talks a lot about Google and how we are basically, in essence, selling our souls to some extent because the product is us. The payment we're making is with our information. And certainly this is one of the most powerful companies on earth. And it's good to see someone be critical of it. So we're going to explore that today. And Scott, welcome. How are you?
Thank you for having me, Jason. I'm doing well.
My pleasure. Now, where are you coming to us from?
Northern Virginia, right outside Washington, D.C.
Fantastic. And again, as an interest of disclosure, I did mention this to you before, we are not using Google Voice to record this call, this show. So that's good news. So tell us a little bit about what brought the book about and, you know, maybe your background first.
Well, I'm a research analyst and have been studying, you know, the telecom and tech sector for years, and I've been, you know, studying Google from the beginning. And several years ago, I realized that they were, you know, when they wanted to buy DoubleClick, I got very concerned because I thought it was obvious that if they bought DoubleClick, which at the time was the dominant company that served ads, you know, when you wait, when the computer comes up and it takes a couple seconds for something to show up, that's because a computer somewhere is serving you up that ad. Well, DoubleClick dominated that business.
And just a moment, let me just mention something. DoubleClick came on under a lot of fire about 10, 12 years ago, as I recall,
yes,
for their abuse of information, right?
Absolutely. And so, but my concern was basically there were only two companies that had a dominant share of internet users, advertisers, and websites. And it was pretty obvious to me as an analyst that when you put the number one and number two, that both had really dominant shares together, it would be game over. And so I worked with the FTC at the time very strongly, and I testified before the Senate. And I told anybody I saw who said, this is a really dumb thing to basically tip Google to monopoly. You know, I'm a free market conservative. I think it's great if people compete and it's not illegal to be a monopoly. It certainly is illegal to buy their way, and they did. And so the Federal Trade Commission totally blew it. So that was what really got me on them. And then, the more I studied Google, the more I realized, even though they're the world's best search engine and they do enormous amount of good and have enormous amount of good products and services, they tend to think that doing good or being good is a license to do wrong. And the more I studied them, the more troubled I was. And at core, the problem with Google is twofold. Number one, they don't obey the law. They don't believe in other people's property and other people's privacy. And the other thing is they claim to be very ethical and very moral. And the track record does not show it. They do not practice what they preach, and it's extremely disturbing when you see how much trust they have created by representing themselves to be literally one of the most ethical companies in the world and one of the and morally superior to other corporations. And when you see their track record, their rap sheet, and actually I did a blog post this week, Google's rap sheet, it's stunning how bad. There is no corporation, major public corporation, with as bad a legal, fraud, criminal, infringement, and antitrust and privacy track record as Google. I mean, it's systemic.
Yeah, pretty strong statements there from a company whose mission statement is don't be evil. I think that's the exact mission statement. Now, so you say they're actually, ethics are one issue, and of course, very important, but those are a little more subjective. You say they're actually breaking the law, though, actually doing illegal things. What are they doing?
Well, the most egregious thing that's indefensible and that they basically settled on is last summer they agreed to a $500 million criminal forfeiture penalty for essentially for over several years they were advertising and marketing and promoting actively illegal, unsafe prescription drugs from overseas. So that would be, you know, illegal steroids, illegal whatever kind of drug. And they were actively marketing them after they had been warned several times by law enforcement. And the Rhode Island U.S. attorney that prosecuted this case basically said Larry Page, the CEO of Google, knew what was going on.
It's amazing. I didn't even hear about that. I mean, was that much in the media?
Well, that's, you know, the reason why you didn't hear much about it is Google is masterful in its duplicity, and it's also masterful in how it builds its brand and public relations. It was the one that leaked that news, and of course it leaked it in August when very few people were, and I think it might even been a Friday. And so generally Google knows how to have bad news come out, and it's when most people aren't listening. And then they almost always pair it with launching a new product or having a new great story about Google, and it just drowns it out, and most people miss it. And so, you know, that's one of the unethical things that they do is they represent themselves to be this wonderful, ethical, moral, legal company. They even say we abide by the law, we respect the law, and they don't.
It just reminds me of the number of times I've had people trying to do business with one of my companies, or I've been at a seminar and the speaker is going on and on about how ethical they are. And you know, it's usually those people are the ones you really have to worry about, you know?
Well, you've learned well, Jason, in the sense, and the real problem with Google is how sanctimonious they were, and literally how they built trust. Over a billion people use them. And so most of the time, you know, we have a practice where if somebody's really representing, you'd expect that they would be who they represent themselves to be. That's why we have, you know, deceptive practices that are illegal. Federal Trade Commission knows you can't say something that's untrue. And you asked, Google also has been found of promoting deceptive privacy practices by the Federal Trade Commission. And they have a 20-year decree where they're going to be investigated and overseen on this because, once again, they told Google Buzz people they wouldn't release their private information. And when they released Google Buzz, they released everybody's Gmail contacts. And that's a problem because, you know, like one woman said, look, my abusive ex-husband was able to track me down from that experience. So it's, what they do, because they have a mission of organizing the world's information, that means they want to organize your private information and any property they can get. And we should talk a little bit about privacy because that's the thing that I think would most interest your listeners.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Well, here's the thing, though. Before we kind of get into that, Google has also been criticized in another way, and maybe this is the way in which they're currying favor with the government, and that is that they've been criticized for being in bed with the government and sharing too much information with the government. And also, they just changed their privacy policies and made them uniform across, I guess, all of their products, but of course, nobody reads these things anyway. Talk about the angle of Google and the government for a moment, if you would. And I'm,
sure,
of course, referring to U.S. government. You're welcome to talk about other,
yeah,
governments. We certainly know about their debacle in China a while back, but I don't know where to go with that one. It's pretty complicated.
Well, Google is Big Brother, Inc. And anybody that worries about Big Brother, the government, needs to worry because under the loopholes in U.S. law, the U.S. government can and does get whatever Google has on people without a warrant or subpoena. So that should freak people out. You know, we think that, hey, you know, under the law, you need to go to a judge to get wiretap and to get that information or to track somebody. And for all the stuff on the internet, they don't. And Google has vastly more intimate information than you'd ever hear from just from conversations. And that was one of the things about my book, In Search and Destroy, Why You Can't Trust Google Inc., is you know, what I talk about is how literally they're collecting all the world's information, and it's incredibly intimate. If people want to see it, I've got a, if they Bing or Google total information awareness power and Google, they'll find a chart of all the things that that Google collects. And then my view is it's not a free country if any entity, whether it be a private company like Google or the government, has an uber intimate profile, literally like the East German Stasi would have collected during the Cold War. Because if you don't have your privacy, if you don't have some zone of privacy and protection, and somebody knows literally everything about you, you know, they own you. And they, you're not an individual. You don't have your own dignity, your own safety, your security, your privacy, or your family. Somebody else owns you if they know everything about you. And in a free country, you shouldn't have that.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, look at the Bill of Rights says that there's no unlawful search and seizure. But the problem is that the founders didn't really know how to comprehend what would come 230 years later when we're living in the age of information. I mean, this information is incredibly valuable and sensitive, and that is the new
intimate
version of search and seizure. It's just information. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's it's a good segue. Do you know that Google wants to know what you want, what you think, what you believe, what you read, what you watch, what you intend to do? They know you better than your spouse and by your parent. And that's because they push the envelope of privacy in every way. They track you online. They can even track you when you're not online. They eavesdrop on you. They read your email. They photograph your house. They want to be your wallet. They even record your face print and your voice print. And the problem with that is that can fall in the wrong hands. As we talked, it could go to the government. It could go to a hacker. It could go to a rogue Google employee or a government spy agency like China. All of these things have already happened. And why your listeners should be worried about that is, what does it mean for them? If someone can access that, it makes them more in danger of stalking, blackmail, theft, fraud, kidnapping, arrest, intimidation, harassment. I can go on. If someone knows everything about you, where you go, who your friends, who you're associated with, it's basically a recipe book of how to do bad things to you. And in the physical world, we have a kind of a zone of privacy because it's hard and difficult to collect that much information on you. But online, basically the internet is a master recording and copying device.
No question
and
about
Google
it.
Google has mastered it.
And what happens online translates into the physical world, because if someone knows our shopping patterns, they know what we have in our home. They know what we have in our office because we bought it online. So, you know, and if you talk about it in a Gmail and then the ad is served up, they know what you're looking at. I mean, it's amazing. In the free versions of that software, which I don't use, but I did many years ago, you type something in your email and gosh, if there isn't an ad right next to it, it's scary. I mean, the computer is reading your emails, no question.
And the thing is why would Gmail, 350 million people use it. And it's one thing for each of them to decide, I'm going to give up my privacy and sell it out. But whenever they email somebody else that hasn't agreed to use Gmail, their information, their private information, is gathered by Google under that same situation.
Yeah, it is.
And
it's got the network effect.
It's not open. Yep.
Yeah, right. Yeah, very scary. So, Scott, if you have to pick the most dangerous force out there in the world of information gathering, is it really Google or is it Facebook?
It's certainly Google. And, you know, but let's look at Facebook for a minute. Facebook has privacy problems. You know, they have admitted it, and they, they've had repeated privacy problems. The thing is about Facebook, though, is they are younger, and they're basically going to get captured and caught in a lot of the privacy issues. And so they're not going to be able to get to be the privacy, invader and problem that Google already has become. And they also, they don't have a mission to literally organize the world's information, which includes all your private information. So it's just, and remember, Facebook is only a subset of what Google does. Google with Google Plus and with Facebook is just one piece of all the world's information. So I don't want to minimize that Facebook's problems are a problem, but you know, they say that 845 million people use on Facebook, but it's actually a much smaller number that use it regularly in the information they have. Google has vastly, vastly more information in every dimension than Facebook has. Facebook's a sliver. Google's the whole pie.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Talk to us more about some of these conflicts of interest with Facebook. And, you know, I hope toward the end of this discussion today, you're going to tell us what we can do to protect ourselves. Because if we were paying a membership fee to Google, say we were paying $20 a month to use all of Google's products or something,
yep,
that would be different. But what we're paying with is our information. And people kind of don't notice that. It's sort of like the air you breathe. Hopefully it's clean enough to where you can't actually see it. And this has this slippery slope effect that is very, very disheartening.
It is. And let me start out once again saying advertising is a perfectly legitimate good business model as long as it's obvious and transparent to people that that's what's going on. And with search, you know, we've seen survey after survey after poll is people don't know what Google is doing and that they're the product and that they that their information is really what's paying for all this. And, you know, maybe they should, but, you know, the vast majority of the billion people that use it don't. And what that says is they've been misled or Google hasn't represented itself fairly. And that's the ethical problem with Google is, and it isn't like Google doesn't know this. The two founders, when they wrote their like PhD paper, identified that they didn't think search should be with advertising because the conflict would be too insidious and that was their word, and too problematic.
Well, they apparently sold out on that, didn't they?
Right, and like just for example, they just got busted by the Australians for making their ads deceptive, and that's because everybody everybody may not know that a lot of those sponsored listings at the top, they think they're search results, they're actually ads, and frankly, most people don't know their ads. But Google says, oh, wait a minute, there's a little bit of difference in shade and gray. We say sponsored listing. Everybody should know. But Google has known over time that they can do the minimum in order to cover themselves, knowing full well they're being deceptive. And that's, you know, throughout kind of the Google system is they do the minimum. You know, like they say they tell the truth, but not the whole truth and nothing but the truth, if you understand what I'm saying. And so the problem with them and their advertising and the conflicts of interest, they're the most conflicted business that's ever been invented. And if you have conflicts, you need to disclose them. And Google has just mountains of conflicts. And why do I say that? Is because they are the world's information broker. Literally, all websites, advertisers, and users come together, and the black box of Google puts them together and monetizes it. And they don't tell people who's paying the bill or who's doing it. And say, that's the problem. If Google was forthright, obeyed the laws, was not deceptive in the way it marketed, I really wouldn't have problems with them. But they are highly deceptive and duplicitous in the way they deal with people.
Wow, this is scary stuff. It really is. So what would Google do? Like, say, for example, they got religion, so to speak. What would they do to clean up their act? I mean, besides adding more fine print to their privacy policies that nobody actually reads and getting people's permission. See, the problem with large companies is that you have to agree, and your agreement is implicit just when you use their product. You don't even check a box anymore nowadays with this stuff. You just agreed automatically. And so when a company becomes as large as Google or even Facebook, it becomes really what I'd call infrastructure. And I don't give up my rights to use other pieces of infrastructure the way I do with Google and Facebook.
Yeah, and what it's the information that you give and give away that is assembled, saved, and then cross-analyzed. Literally, they know stuff about you you don't know about yourself by basically putting together your behaviors. And the scary thing about this is that they, in an election, or one of the things I say in my books is one of the things that everybody should be very aware of is Google supplies all their information for free or their services to all the campaigns. And so they know every candidate campaign party's funders, their supporters. They know everything. They know where they are located. They know their hot buttons. Because remember, if they're going to sell you something through ads, they can also sell, just like selling you a product or service, they can sell you an idea or a candidate. And so Google has developed literally the capacity to influence elections or to throw elections. And the point, you know, I just don't think any company or any entity should have that much information on that many people. Now, if they, in the perfect world, if they were perfectly ethical and they always obeyed the law, there would be less concern there. There would still be a lot. But they have proven to not obey the law and to be highly unethical and to be highly, highly political. And so what I'm saying in the book is I'm saying it's very scary when there's the centralized power that Google has over information. And information is power, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's where Google is. They have the motive, the capability to influence elections or manipulate elections. And I don't think the right people are watching to make sure that they don't. And so a lot of what I'm talking about is Google just needs accountability. In our system of government, we brilliantly, because of the founders, have separation of powers. We have all sorts of rights that protect the minority or the individual. And in the virtual world and on the internet, which is anywhere anything goes, Google has been able to assemble extraordinarily disproportionate, monopolistic, totalitarian type potential power. And people need to know, look, if there isn't accountability, if there isn't checks and balances on that, bad things will happen. It's human nature, history. We've always known it. When there's a centralization of power, bad things happen.
You know, who would have ever thought that the world's central planner, as it were, would end up being an internet company? You know, I mean, most people think it's governments you have to worry about.
Well, I'm glad you used that term, because that was what I called them in the end. They're the ultimate central planners. And why do I say that? Well, computer programmers or algorithm writers. Remember, a computer program is designed to create what it wants to produce, meaning it has an end result, and then it automates how to get to that end result. And so everything they're doing with information, everything they're doing with monetizing it, everything they're doing with all their services, they know the outcome they want to get. So it's a centrally planned company and a centrally planned ecosystem and almost sub-economy. And they just say, don't be evil, and everybody's supposed to, you know, smile and say, oh, that's fine.
And you know what's amazing is that governments and central banks have so much power over us because they control the currency. They control the value of the currency through inflation and deflation. Well, mostly just inflation. But Google now they're in the cash business. We look at PayPal, but Google, with their product, I believe it's called Google Wallet, where you can pay for things with your phone. I mean, it's going to be massively convenient, I'll tell you that. So the adoption will probably be extraordinary. Where they're basically, in essence, controlling now the world's fiat currency. If you go to a vending machine and you use your phone, you aim your phone at it and pay with your phone, they can create basically a cashless society.
Yeah, and the one area I'm less concerned about Google Wallet in the competitive world, because I think everybody's getting into it and realizing they're not. I think everybody doesn't want Google. I mean, even Walmart, Kmart, all the retailers in the world have gotten together and said, we don't want Google to be able to do this, and they want it to have their own. And there's others, so there's not as much concern there. But when you talked about like the Federal Reserve, to give people an idea of how much information they have, the Federal Reserve Google relative is much more powerful than the Federal Reserve, because Google is like putting 90% of all the central banks of the world together under one entity. There, then you start getting a sense of it. Or it's like, you know, 90% of anything in the country of information and power, that's what they control. So it's the internet is essentially Google's domain. And people don't appreciate that. You know, when they say the internet, in a sense, they're saying Google for most consumers.
Let me take a brief pause. We'll be back in just a minute.
Want to know what you've missed in the Creating Wealth series? Well, here's your opportunity with Jason's 5-book set. That's shows 1 through 100 through digital download. You save $288 by getting this 5-book set. Learn all of the advanced strategies for wealth creation. For more details, go to jasonhartman.com.
Well, when we look at Google, and it was, you're saying they're highly political. Now, I doubt people would really think that, because, you know, certainly I never hear the founders of Google come out and talk about politics. I hear Warren Buffett talk about it. And Google certainly, you know, their founders have got to be left-leaning, I'm sure, right?
Extremely so. But that's their right. You know, if it's a free country, they can have their political views. However, what people don't realize is they are very activist in government with those political views, and companies can be, but they are way more than most. And what makes it more troubling is that they also represent themselves as unbiased, that they don't manipulate search results. They're an unbiased, like, honest broker. And that's a problem. Once again, they're saying, we are trustworthy. Trust us. We are unbiased. And they aren't. They have a very strong political agenda. One of the reasons I wrote the book is I think their radical left-wing ideology isn't accepted by the vast majority of people, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, a liberal or conservative. Most people believe in property rights for others and believe that people have a need for privacy. You put conservatives and liberals in there, they both want privacy. They just have a different boogeyman they're afraid of. But they all know if you don't have any privacy, it's big trouble. And what Google's kind of radical philosophy is that it has this kind of techtopian society where everything will be best on the Internet if there's no property or private information, where any one and zero is free to go wherever it wants to go. And most people around the world, in a civilized world, know if you don't have private property and if you don't have private information, you are Google's serf.
Well, just anything more, I want to ask you what we can do, but anything more on digital serfdom, the road they're leading us down, and where Google is taking us? I mean, just anything more on that before we talk about some action steps here?
Yes. In my book, you know, Search and Destroy, Why You Can't Trust Google Inc., what I am trying, it's really the first book about Google that's critical of them, but also it's the first book that talks about where Google is taking us. And that, you know, I talk about one chapter about the digital road to serfdom, and it's basically what I said before, that if you don't have privacy, you don't have property, you aren't really an individual, and you really don't control your own destiny. Someone else does, or some other entity does. And Hayek let us know that you have to have individual freedoms, and you have to guard those so that you don't become a serf to some totalitarian entity of some type. But then what I talked about is really what it is all about, what Google's all about, is the tyranny of central planning, in the sense that they know what they want to do with all that information, and they organize it so that it produces the outcomes they want. And we know that anybody that has centralized power of that extreme, everybody should be very concerned. And so my book, you know, people say, well, what do you suggest? I made some, you know, simple rules. I mean, I think people should expect them to follow the golden rule, because they don't treat others the way they want to be treated. I think we should ask law enforcement to enforce the law. If you think you've been wronged, you should sue. And, you know, I think the one area where government needs to intervene in a legislative way is we need privacy legislation. You know, there should be do not track, like everybody has do not call privileges. And that's because I think that if you want to sell your privacy to Google or to others, that's fine. It's a free country. But if you want to protect you, your children, your teenagers, your spouse, you should be able to say, wait a minute, I don't want to be stalked. I don't want to be tracked on the Internet. And that's just common sense.
The problem is, how are you ever going to know if they're really doing it? Even if they say, you know, if they say this is the privacy policy and you can limit things and you can limit tracking and you can limit cyber stalking, how do you know it's really being done? I mean, you know, don't. Some computer, some server somewhere is creating a log file saying that you did this and you did that. It's got to be happening.
Yes, but the thing is if it was against the law to be tracking and aggregating it, would it be perfect? No, but it's kind of like when people abuse the do not call us, people
right.
report them,
yeah.
or we're then discovered.
It's better than nothing.
Fined
yeah.
big time.
Right.
Oh, it's, you know, it's an 80% solution. It's not 100% solution, but I'll tell you, 80% is a heck of a lot better than zero.
Yeah, that's no question about it. Well, what's interesting is there's a website, a search engine out there called StartPage. You know, and I use it from time to time. But what's interesting is several months ago, I noticed that StartPage now had this little Google logo on it, and it said searches by Google. It's basically using Google's search engine, I guess, but theoretically stripping off any of the identifying information. So you get all the benefits of Google's great search technology, this is the pitch, I guess, without, you know, any tracking. What do you think about, is one, you know, I want to ask you about action steps, what we can do. Is StartPage something we should all be using instead of Google?
It's vastly better than the alternative, Google. And, you know, just like using Bing, spreading your business around. Remember, the threat is that it's centralized, and so you should be just aware. The thing is, Google does a lot of good. It has a lot of good products. What I'm trying to say to people is don't blindly trust them. You know, I use Google search when I want to find something difficult to find. And if I've made the decision, I'm willing to let Google know I was looking for that. But I don't use them regularly. And so it's be smart. Be prudent. Know that this is an unethical company that has a problem with obeying the law, and they are information hounds. They want everything. And so people should just be smart and saying, I don't want to give them everything about me. And they should be aware of whenever they're doing anything online that is sensitive or private that they don't want other people to know, they should just be really judicious about what they're doing, because Google is collecting that information more than any other entity. Lots of other entities are doing it, but no one's doing it on the comprehensiveness, global scale, and efficiency and focus and literally a mission to do it. So I would put Google, you know, literally several solar systems bigger threat than most everybody else. Maybe Facebook is up there in the next category, but no one else has as much accumulated comprehensive information as Google has.
I mean, what is our life going to look like, you know, if we're going down the same path 10 years from now? You know, in internet time, that's about 70 years. I'm making them dog years because it evolves so quickly. I mean, are we just going to have any privacy at all?
Well, you know, the thing is, if you look at every poll, and I track them all, people want privacy, they expect privacy. So there will be a real inflection point disconnect when enough bad things happen where people pass privacy laws around the world, and Google has to adjust. And it'll be a brutal adjustment. So it'll be adjustment for Facebook as well, because they basically have assumed that they could do anything they want with anybody's information, and they've done it. And people are going to figure it out, rise up, and say no. Is that going to take 1, 2, 5, 10, 15 years? But you just can't, I don't buy this thing that Google and others try and say is, you've lost your privacy, get over it. Well, the people didn't want to give up their privacy. It was taken from them deceptively. And I believe kind of justice turns slowly. I believe that, you know, the collective kind of democracy maybe move slowly. But in the end, people are going to rise up and say, what you're doing is not in my interest. If I have no privacy, I'm no longer an individual. I'm no longer safe. I'm no longer the individual. I don't have any of my own dignity. Someone can steal my information, my identity. They can defraud me. They can stalk me. They can, you know, endanger my family. I mean, it is just common sense that you need privacy. And anytime people think about it, they demand it.
Well, what is amazingly scary, and you probably know about this, and I think it was the CEO of Google who said a couple of years ago when asked, it was a media interview, when asked, is it really right for you to be tracking people's search around the internet? And he said, and I remember seeing this with my own eyes, maybe it was on 60 Minutes or something, I don't know, and he said, if what you're doing is that secret, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. And I thought, what a dangerous ideology that is.
Very dangerous. He said that to Maria Bartiromo on CNBC.
Okay.
I remember it very well. I've seen it over and over again. And the thing is everybody has a secret. The little old lady that makes apple pies for church,
sure,
on Sunday,
yeah,
might be afraid that her neighbor knows that she only did 2 pies and not 3 pies. And she would be devastated if that secret information was known. And what I'm trying to say is everyone has a secret that they don't want their mother to know this, or their brother to do that because they'll be jealous or whatever. The point is everybody has a right to their own privacy. They know when information can get out that can hurt people. And it's not unethical. It's not illegal. It's just some things you should be able to decide. Your faith, your relationships with other people, that should be private. It's not stuff that a company should feel it has a right to know about you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And a heck of a lot more than that should be private, too. So what do we do? Use Start Page. What else?
Well, the other thing is just spread your usage around, but also beware that Google can track you wherever you're going on that. So try and put, do not use Chrome browser. Do not use Gmail. Do not use the big, people have to use YouTube. I'm not going to tell you not to use it, but just be judicious about it. But you can use another email service. You can use another browser. They work fine. You can use another search engine. It may be Startpage that uses them, but try and wean oneself away from Google to the extent possible. And it's not really possible to get completely away from them. They're everywhere.
Well, that's a realistic view of things, certainly. Okay, good. Well, hey, where can people get the book? Where can people learn more?
Well, they can get it, thank you. It's Search and Destroy, Why You Can't Trust Google, Inc. They can get it on Amazon. They can get it on our website, which is searchanddestroybook.com. Or they can get it on the on Apple's iBook store or at Barnes & Noble online. So it's available online on any of the major things. But if they want to see more material, it's searchanddestroybook.com.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And just as a point of disclosure, when you go online to buy this book, Google will probably know that you purchased it.
Well, Amazon or
and that's
Meanwhile,
not funny but, either.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Sure. But we have a we don't do anything with the we don't track on searchanddestroybook.com. That would be too hypocritical.
No, I know. I just wanted to point that out though with Google. When people look it up, they'll probably know. Well, Scott, hey, keep up the good work. Thanks for doing this. It really is a public service you're doing, but also please write a book on Facebook next, because I think that's a big one, too, that we really need to worry about. So really good advice here, and thank you for doing it. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your time and your interest, Jason.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.